B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. Don't forget, Parks tonight. Cousins Corner, 6 to 7. Getting set up for the game. We'll have heavy lines at Parks because they like the wagering piece of it. So we'll get you set up with that tonight. Brad Feinberg will join us tonight. He'll be breaking down some games and the whole thing. Okay. We are going to switch up things a little bit because Moose Johnston could not do earlier. We had scheduled him earlier. So Moose is going to be doing the game with Kevin Burkhardt, who we love. We love those two together. And so we're gonna go to Moose, and because he's doing the game on Sunday on Fox, and we'll get his take. It's such a strange year, right? Because we don't know what to expect. However, it's back, and today's the first day, I think, that I sense it, that everybody's kind of excited about it. You sense the whole town, the anticipation and being on edge and looking forward to it. All right. On the Comcast Business Hotline, he is the great analyst and a great, you know, he married a Philly girl. He's a great friend of the show. He is, of course, Moose Johnston on the Comcast Business Hotline. Moose, what's happening, brother?
Good morning, Anthony. How you doing? How have you been through all this nonsense?
Yeah, you know, we're all fighting through it. God bless you and your family, man. Everybody good?
Everybody's good. Yes, you as well. Everybody listening out there, too. Hope everybody's been staying safe and healthy as possible.
Thanks, brother. You know, it's great, though, just to be able to talk about football. You know, it's funny. The last time we had you on during the pandemic, just to kind of touch base with you. And the fact that we're actually going to be able to talk about football is a beautiful thing, man. It's a gift in a lot of ways.
It really is. It really is. I really, you know, I like the way the NFL has handled this, you know, as opposed to the colleges. And I'm sure it's a lot easier with just the 32 teams as opposed to the NCAA trying to be the, you know, the overseer of everything across the country. But, you know, just giving the players the opportunity to play, you know, do you want to opt out? Are you comfortable under these circumstances? Here's our protocols. It just seems like there was a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of engagement between the NFL and the NFLPA to get to the point where the guys can make an educated decision. And then it really seems like they've decided to move forward and they know they're going to have some bumps in the road. You know, we were on our call with Fox last week, and I think one of the really interesting points that was brought up was it's not a question of what if, it's a question of what now.
Right.
You know, at some point, there's going to be some positive cases in a locker room. And what is the response then? How do you keep it under control and not have a situation like we had in baseball with the Marlins and the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, that's the scary thing because you wonder what can be done when being in that close quarters is just so frightening that if it hits the quarterback room or it hits. And you saw what the Eagles have done when it came to McNown, that Josh McCown's going to be in Texas, and God forbid something happens, he's almost on call for the season.
Yeah, my big question with that is, you know, what if we get to a point where he's still got a quarantine, right? So does he have to leave Texas at some point? I know we're not the favorite state of a lot of people up in the north right now. Our numbers are getting better, so I think he would be able to come into Pennsylvania and be able to be in the locker room right away. But I think it's a really smart play by the Eagles organization. I really do, because as you listen to all the coaches, obviously quarterback, if something happened in the quarterback room, boy, that's devastating. The offensive line is another one, you know, if it's your center. And then that goes back to your quarterback room. You just think of all the close contact that you have during the course of the game and what the potential could be with a positive. And, I mean, the best thing we do, keep our fingers crossed, let's go play football, and then let's just adjust. We'll take it one step at a time.
I was talking to Steve Spagnuolo, Coach Spags, and who's a buddy of mine. We were going back and forth on the same subject, and he said, here's my only answer to you. And he gave me the prayer emoji. That's it. Just pray. What kind of football do you think it's going to be with no preseason and, you know, the limited hitting that we've seen. What do you think that piece of it, what kind of toll does that take on the quality of early on?
Yeah, I think I would think that the Eagles would have a huge advantage in the East, with all the other three teams having new head coaches and missing out on the opportunity for some extra time in OTAs and training camp. I know they've done a great job and they've adjusted and they've done their Zoom conferences and, you know, everything they can possibly do here. But, you know, one of the great sayings that I've heard so far is, you know, not enough time on the grass. You know, it's great in a Zoom room. It's, you know, you're getting the kind of the top layer of it, but you're not digging down into the nuts and bolts. So, you know, this Philly, are they able to kind of take advantage of their position in the divisions with the consistency they've had with their staff and their offense and defense compared to the other three teams? I think, you know, tackling would be one area that you would expect to maybe not be as tight as you would want it to be. But there's a lot of coaches that have gone back and they looked at, you know, the 2011 season when we had the lockout with the CBA. And they really didn't notice it. And then I've seen some of the guys talk about it. They're like, listen, we don't tackle in OTAs. You know, we don't do a lot of hitting, you know, in training camp normally. You know, we're working on our angles. You know, I wrap guys up and knock them back and then let them go. So it sounds like the players themselves are comfortable, you know, being able to tackle and the physical portion of the game. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of speculation. There's going to be a ton of unknowns. And we'll just start to see how everything unfolds week after week.
Do you believe that soft tissue injuries and everything that, you know, those kinds of nicks, is that from training camp? Now, you played through, you didn't do six preseason games. You did four, right, when you came in?
We had five. We had five quite a bit because we would get caught on one of the internationals.
Right. And, you know, before that, those guys are playing six preseason games. Did you think you needed all that work and all the two-a-days? And I know your camps were vastly different than the camps today. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think we probably were on the side of a little bit too much. You know, our training camps were extremely physical. You know, the Raiders would come down. We played them traditionally in the preseason, and they would come in the week before, and we'd practice with them. And the game on Saturday was easier than the practices on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Our camps were physical. I've always felt that, you know, preseason was a little bit too long with the games. I'd like to see it paired back to two. I think that that's fair, and it's probably something that will be addressed here. You know, one of the CBAs is they're doing things. I think when you talk to coaches, they've got their evaluations done. I was always one of those guys that, well, you really got to see the guys, how they react, how they respond, how they play when the lights go on in the preseason games. And, you know, I think when you talk to coaches, they're like, listen, we've got a really good feel. You know, we stress them more in practices. We see more and we learn more about them in practice. We know how they're going to react when the lights go on. So I think that's one of the things that I've learned here, that even some of the coaches, you know, may want the preseason games reduced as well, because their biggest fear right now is injuries. And you know, we've had, you know, throughout my career, we had a couple of, you know, season changing injuries in training camp, and it's devastating. It's devastating to go to that next practice to know that you've just suffered a huge loss, you know, for the entire season with one of your players going, you know, down with a season ending injury. So, you know, I that's everybody's biggest fear.
Yeah, without a doubt. Talking to the great Darryl Johnson, Moose on the call, Sunday, Fox. So, intel-wise, just what are you thinking? I know you'll be talking to Doug, but what are you thinking about this Eagles team? You know about Jason Peters now at left tackle. What's your kind of just faraway view of the Eagles and who they are?
I think the big thing, especially early in the season, and we always saw this during training camp, the defense is always a little bit ahead of the offense. It's reactionary. It's much more athletic. You know, there's execution and play calling on the offensive side. Not to say that it's not there on the defensive side, but it's more important on the offensive side. So I think the biggest thing, you know, in the matchup with Philadelphia and Washington, and then really around the league, is going to be the offensive line versus the defensive line. And with both of these teams, you know, the strength is in that defensive line, especially for Washington. You know, that will be the big question mark for me is how does that matchup work out? How do they protect Carson Wentz in the pocket? You know, how are the running lanes? You know, that's a pretty, it's not only good, it's very deep too. I mean, they can do that defensive line rotation in Washington and really start to stress opposing offensive lines. So I think that that's the biggest component of this game, because it doesn't matter who you have on the outside in skills, in skill position places, you know, what your scheme is. If you can't handle the offensive or the defensive line up front, if you can't give your quarterback time to throw, if your running back doesn't have anywhere to run, it doesn't matter how talented you are at the skill set.
What's the story of Carson? When you look at Carson now, what are you expecting out of him?
I was impressed how he, you know, kind of carried the team last season. You know, obviously the injury situation at the wide receiver position, the adjustment to a more tight end based offense, you know, with a lot more 12 personnel, and just being able to do that seamlessly. You know, he's getting to the point right now where, you know, he can manage and navigate and kind of lift the offense up with his play. So I thought it was interesting. There was an article written, you know, I think it's, you know, one of the guys coming in free agency that was with the Rams. And, you know, being around, you know, Jared Goff and, you know, those guys in their same draft class, you know, where do you think they are right now? And I think it was Nickell Robey-Coleman. I think it was very complimentary of Carson with the intangible components. And we've met with Jared Goff and we've met with Carson Wentz, and they are very different when you talk about from a personality standpoint. And I could see that, you know, Carson is very driven. You know, Jared's a little bit more of a, you know, a technician type. So I can see exactly what his comments were, that leadership component that Carson has, you know, he's been working on that more. He says that, you know, that Jared's, he's going down that path. But I think the way his career started, you know, with everything that was going on, it was a little difficult for him. And then Carson has had a much better start to his career. And it's probably just about, you know, a season or a season and a half further down that road of progression.
Yeah. And even with Carson has had to grow immensely because of what he was through, right? It all goes well. His second year, he's on his way to MVP. He gets hurt. Nick Foles, we know the story, comes back, gets hurt again. Nick Foles again. Last year, not a lot of receivers, and is able to, with practice squad guys, is able to kind of get a playoff berth. So, like, he's been through it. Until he gets hit, knocked out of that game in the playoffs. So he's been through it during his short career, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a little bit more adversity throughout his career, as opposed to Jared having it just right at the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
But, you know, has weathered the storm very well, you know, to your point. You know, and that's going to drive you. You know, I can't imagine not having been a part of a Super Bowl. And, you know, Mark Stemowski is one of the guys that came into my draft class, and he tore his ACL. And he was not a part of our second Super Bowl, you know, as a player. And I know how, you know, how much that hurt him, that he, you know, you don't really feel a part of it. You know, you do everything you possibly can in the meeting rooms and helping out guys, but you're just not out there on the field with him. So, you know, I can't even imagine what that's like, you know, for Carson, you know, the quarterback position and watching, you know, your backup, you know, go on that great run and win a Super Bowl. So there's going to be motivation there for him, you know, to want to be able to do that as well and give something back to the Philly fan base.
Hey, Mooks, last thing, I'm just curious, because you live down there. I talked to a lot of people, and they are extremely bullish on the Cowboys. Have you got any intel? How good are they going to be?
Well, I think for the last few seasons, there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of excitement at the beginning of the season, but they haven't been able to live up to the expectations of the team. You know, the talk since the draft has been very positive. You know, to get CeeDee Lamb, you know, Trevon Diggs, you know, those were guys that they had as, you know, they didn't think they were going to get him. You know, they thought CeeDee would be gone. You know, they had him, I think it's number six on their draft board. Trevon was a guy they had a first round grade on. So they were very excited coming out of the draft. You know, I think they did a good job in free agency. You know, unfortunately, Gerald McCoy, you know, went down, but the, Everson Griffith, you know, that was a great signing. You know, Alden Smith is supposedly
had an unbelievable
training camp.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of positives that are going on here, but it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Mike McCarthy, new head coach. Mike Nolan, new defensive coordinator. Kellen Moore is still the offensive coordinator, but there'll be a blend. There'll be some influence from Mike McCarthy and his system that's in there. And how much were they able to grow? You know, one of the interesting things is, you know, there's a story down here that Dak Prescott put a turf field in his backyard and had the receivers coming over throughout the entire spring.
Yeah.
So they've been working together, you know, on their own.
You know, we always have to keep an eye on the rival over here.
Hey, listen, you know, the Dallas fan base is watching the Eagles as well, and that's going to be one of the big things is, you know, shoot, we've had a lot of change, we've had a lot of transition. And they've had the consistency. You know, they're going to be a step ahead of us, you know, at the start of the season. And I think you guys have, four of the six division games?
Yes.
Within the first half of the season?
Yeah.
So if you can really take advantage of that, you know, that's huge.
Yeah.
So I really think I've always been a big advocate of you're not going to win a championship in the month of September, but you sure can lose one. You know, you get out to a 1-3 start or an 0-4 start, you got to dig yourself out of that hole. You know, if Philly can kind of flip that, you know, with the consistency they have with the staff and the systems and get out to a real good start in September and the other three kind of struggle a little bit out of the gates because of all the change in the offseason, you get a little bit of separation there at the start of the season and try and maintain that throughout the year.
Great stuff. Boosh, you're fabulous, man. We love you, man. Really.
Catching up with you.
You're a great man. We appreciate it. And the city loves. We'll be watching you Sunday. Best to the family, brother. All right.
Yeah. You too. Everybody, stay healthy. Stay safe out there.
There he is, the great Moose Johnson on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's a gentleman, man. He is a great dude.
Yeah, he is, and he's always nice, man. Whenever I book him, he's awesome.
Nah, he is, and he's always generous when his time comes on. He's terrific at what he does, and. It's fun. Like, he gets it, too. You know, he gets the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
He's a cool dude. And that's great. We got we had Kevin on yesterday, Kevin Burkhart, and his partner Moose today. So we had to set for Sunday. Oh, my God. I can't believe we're talking about this, dude. I'm dying out of my mind.
I'm getting fired up. Like, and hearing his voice, right? Like,
exactly.
Go way back.
I know.
For some people, you're thinking Eagles Cowboys when you hear his voice.
I know.
Load left.
Wow. We did that to him last time where we were during the pandemic. But, wow, I can't believe it's here. No, it's funny because I watch a lot of the games, like the big games with my cousin.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking, should I watch Sunday, like the opener? Because the boys still don't. You'll be on your couch Sunday, right?
Yeah.
See, my kids are still... Yeah.
When I was that age, it was I would watch the game, and then at halftime, I would normally go outside with the football by myself. Like I would play like ghost football,
throw the ball to yourself,
and then it would be like Andrew third quarter start, and I'll be like, be right in,
because I
had to finish the game.
Right.
You know, Super. I was playing the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Eagles were winning every single game.
When they're that age, they need constant. Like it's hard for them to sit and digest it.
Yeah.
Now we were different because, you were different too because we didn't have the same distractions that they do.
Don't forget, I also always missed the first quarter growing up
because of church.
Yeah, Sunday school, church and Sunday school. It killed me. It killed my dad.
Oh, yeah! I can't imagine your father.
Oh, he hated it.
I bet.
He hated the Sunday school.
Oh, I bet. And you had to do every week?
Yeah, every Sunday.
Did he ever miss?
No, I don't think so. Unless we had to, like, go somewhere. But no, for the most part, I was there every Sunday.
It's funny, man.
First quarter.
Yeah. God bless him. We would get there. You know, the beauty of the Sunday Mass is... Our services weren't long. You know, you can get out of there in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, can we leave after communion, kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's another 15 minutes.
It is.
You got to wait after prayer for communion, and then the final blessings.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like people start talking and chit-chat, and then they would chit-chat.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like your parents would chit-chat, and you're going,
let's go.
Yo, we got a game. Let's go. No chit-chat.
See, I'm really bad with
post-mass chit-chat.
I'm really bad with the post-mass chit-chat on Christmas Eve, the midnight mass, because I usually go to my sister's house first. So, you know, we have a few pops before.
Yeah, that's different, though.
Before mass.
Yeah.
And then, like, my mom's falling asleep, and I'm like, I got to catch up with my friends.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice.
All of a sudden, it's like 1:30.
It's all right. It's different. There's no game getting ready to
play.
That's
true.
We will come back, and we will open the lines again. Talk to everybody. Also have that Jeff McClain coming up as well to talk about his story. This is it. Football, baby. This is fun. All right. Let's talk a little bit about DraftKings, because they're excited at DraftKings about football to kick off the 101st football season. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all users a no-brainer to start the season. For week one, DraftKings has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points. You heard me right, 101 for all users. So even if Kansas City loses by a cool 100, you still win with DraftKings Sportsbook. Plus, DraftKings is giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter their free football survivor pool. All you got to do is sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook, enter their survivor pool. You'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaways. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code FANATIC, to get in on all the action for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love you, 30. Hanging out on a Thursday, start of the NFL. Damn, I'm excited. Can't wait. Tonight, Chiefs and Texans. Big Red, looking to defend. I'm trying to get some intel on tonight. Wow, it's going to be incredible. Look at this. All right, sit tight, because we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. But incredible story. Great reporting by our next guest, Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. Always a great read, a great, great Eagles beat writer on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, great stuff, by the way. Great reporting.
Oh, thanks.
So what did you learn with this piece that chronicles Doug and Howie and Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, in the story, we learned that, Doug was pretty darn upset when he found out he had to fire Carson Walsh and Mike Groh after he told them to their faces that they were returning. We found out that, things aren't always as seamless as maybe they are presented to the public. And I don't think any of us should be surprised by that. Sometimes the best working relationships aren't seamless, to use that word again. Yeah, you need that sometimes, a little give and take. But, that being said, my intent in the story was really to find out how all these off-season coaching changes, were made and how they're going to make this dynamic work, because it's really not a normal construction on the offensive side of the ball. And when I found out, you know, I'd found out even back in January that Doug, you know, after he'd had his meeting with Jeffrey Lurie, that that's kind of what compelled him to quote unquote change his mind. But that being said, you know, this is something that when you're kind of, I wouldn't say forced, but you're pushed into a certain direction, you know, how adaptable are you to bringing in those new coaches and finding guys that maybe you previously have never met before, and how will that work? And when you don't have a de facto offensive coordinator and you have run game coordinator, pass game coordinator, senior offensive assistant, senior offensive consultant, pass game, how's that all going to work?
Yeah.
It's not a usual construct. So that was my intent. And, you know, in reporting, you found out that some other things too, just to, you know, how it works inside that building with Jeffrey and Howie and Doug, basically the three main voices in that building.
Yeah, and listen, and it's funny because I've said this before, and you and I have talked about it, but, you know, Jeffrey Lurie is not, I'll say, the guy in Dallas, right? But he, only because Jerry Jones is really outspoken, but
right,
he does have a lot to say inside the building, and his fingerprints are on it, and he goes, listen, I've owned the football team for a long time, and he wants to be involved in decisions.
Correct. I mean, he's not, I'm trying to think of an owner that was completely all, you know, hands off. I mean, you know, I guess maybe Paul Allen, whatever, when he used to be the Seahawks, he had nothing to do with the
right.
football team. He basically just owned it. And then you have Jerry Jones, who probably hypes up his involvement in the team, certainly now versus when he first owned the team. You know, Jeffrey is a affable guy. And, you know, I think comes off that way. He's pretty open, I think, for the most part. But he can be demanding. I mean, he can, you know, look, he didn't take a floundering franchise and building it into the one of the most successful in the world without being a certain type of businessman. And, you know, everyone will always credit Joe Banner for that. I mean, Jeff certainly played a role in that as well. And when you look at the football team and the successes that they've had over the last 25 years, I mean, Jeff, the big decisions, he's involved in them. And I think probably he knows that he can, you know, at times he has to step in and he has to say, you know what, you're not seeing this and I need to make you see it. Because, again, I think most people would probably look at the Mike Rowe and Carson Walsh firings and said they needed to happen. And so, you know, we'll see how that plays off. And maybe to Jeff's credit, he stepped in and said this had to be done.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, looking back on it, we were just kind of discussing it. One of Doug's real positive things is that he's a people guy. Like, he strikes me as a really good dude. You know him in that sense.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think he cares about people. I think he wants to do right by people. And I think with those two guys, I think it was almost to a flaw that he was trying to do right by them, even though it was, to me, apparent they were both ill-equipped to do their jobs.
Right. And, you know, I think Doug also placed a little more emphasis on the success of the team down the stretch and more than, I guess, maybe Jeff and Howie would have in terms of how they evaluated those two guys. Because, I mean, to their credit, I mean, look what they had. They had almost nobody at receiver. They had tons of injuries. They were almost dead before that 4-game winning streak to make the playoffs. And then you get to the playoffs, and Carson Wentz is hurt in the first series, and you have to try and win a game with a hobbled 40-year-old Josh McCown. So I don't know how you could fault Mike or Carson exactly for that, but there was more to it than just that. And in my reporting, and I think, you know, it's a big part of the story, is, and we've always known this, as you mentioned, Doug is a good guy. And he, you know, we've said this before, but he really makes that engine go because he's not a type A guy. He's easygoing. He can stand there. He can stay in the office after games and let Jeff talk to him. Jeff wants to talk out the game a lot of times, and certainly from the offensive point of view, as I wrote in the story too, that's what he cares most about, and be able to accept that. Some coaches wouldn't. You know, do you think Bill Belichick's allowing Jeffrey Lurie to come into his office and talk about it? No, with that. He's okay with Howie being involved in who's up or down on game days. He's okay with Howie bringing in a lot of the assistants, because again, now that's probably a little bit of a weak spot for Doug. Doug didn't even know who Rich Gangarella was before Howie brought him in.
Right.
Now Doug certainly sets parameters and said, okay, this is what I want. You know, hey, give me somebody from here. Give me this type of guy.
Sure.
And Howie, because he's really locked into what goes on around the league, can go find those guys for him. I mean, it's a dynamic that has worked and can continue to work. But, you know, Doug is still his own man. I mean, he's still successful. He won a Super Bowl. You know, he called the Philly special. You know, I mean, like, you know.
Nick Foles did, but that's all right.
Okay.
Nah, I'm just teasing.
But Doug ultimately made the call.
Yeah, I'm teasing. Yeah, without a doubt. You're right.
You're right. But that's also Doug's a collaborator. I mean, he's willing to listen to other people. It's kind of what made it work. But at the same time, it can also be a detriment to the ultimate team goals. And I think maybe that's where Jeff and Howie felt they had to step in.
Yeah. No, listen, that makes perfect sense. We're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. And the only thing that really bugged me about the situation with Groh is that one report about that Carson was bullying him, that I still don't even understand how that happens. I mean, you know, the quarterback who's a driven guy, we're grown ups. This is not third grade. And the guy's a driven guy, and if he thinks there's a weakness with it with a coach, he should be allowed to express it. And
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I wrote about that relationship too in the story. And I never, the bullying was a word that was never used to me. And you know, I have some pretty good sources in the building, people who are really in those rooms and have been a part of those discussions. And, you know, there was tension there. It wasn't the greatest. It wasn't like Carson and Frank Reich, but they respected each other, and it wasn't like it was always a fight or a battle over something, but they didn't see things the same way. Mike was hired to be an offensive coordinator, so he would analyze the defense and figure out, okay, this is how we're going to attack this defense. These are the weaknesses that we're going to try and expose. And I think from Carson's point of view is, yeah, but that doesn't play to my strengths, or that doesn't play to what the strengths of the offense are right now based upon the personnel that we have. And I think that was kind of an interplay that existed for 2 years that wasn't always great. Now, look, again, this is a team that still went to the playoff 2 years in a row with both of them, but I think we can all say that the offense had certainly regressed based upon what we'd seen in 2017.
And here's something that I still question. And that is, who missed on Ward and Boston Scott? And, you know, you got those guys, they were in the practice squad. They didn't get better until those guys were inserted into the lineup.
Yeah. I think there were a couple dynamics to that. One being that, again, Mac Hollins was on the team for far too long. And it wasn't just, Mac was a good draft pick when they made him. He just had two groin injuries,
which
set him back, and he shouldn't have made the team last year. But he was a fourth-round pick, and they kept him. And that's what you see a lot of times. And, you know, Sidney Jones should have been on this team for a few years and whatever. You had guys ahead of other guys that probably shouldn't have been on the team, and that stood in the way of guys who were going out there and producing in practices. And, you know, that affects how you distribute playing time. I also felt like, you know, there's been, you know, especially at the receiver position, some of those guys, there wasn't a great chemistry between Carson and some of them. And you know, those guys want to do what they want to do. And then there's guys like Greg Ward who'll do whatever they have to do to help Carson win. Right?
Yeah.
And that's, I felt like, you know, Carson's like, okay, I can lead these guys. I don't, you know, they're going to look to me as a leader, whereas the other guys, they probably still look to me as, you know, the guy who didn't win them a Super Bowl 2 years prior.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. All right, shifting gears towards Sunday. What are you thinking? How they going to? Any idea? Any clue in how they're going to look and approach this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one story to me is what's going to happen on the offensive line. I mean, we now have JP back to left tackle, which is a whole nother story. But Lane Johnson has an ankle issue. And from what I understand is that's probably not going to be healthy enough for him to play.
Wow.
So all of a sudden you have, maybe, I mean, he's played through things before, but I think playing through that high ankle sprain last season has now put him in this situation this season. Do you want to do that? And against a team that I think most people think isn't going to be very good. Now, that defensive line is deep and strong, so you have to worry about that. And if you have to put Matt Pryor at right tackle, you were worried about putting him at left tackle. Now, right tackle is a position he would practice him more at, so I guess he feels more comfortable there. And Nate Herbig would, I guess, be your right guard.
Oof.
You know, you have three projected starters that aren't in the lineup. Andre Dillard, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson. That right side of that line.
Oh, my God.
You put Ryan Kerrigan over there, and Kerrigan's not even starting now, which tells you a little bit about the depth there.
Yeah.
And you got Chase Daniel on the other side. Not Chase Daniel.
Chase Young,
Chase Young. Yeah, Chase Daniel probably wouldn't get a stop.
No, it's just funny.
You got to be worried about that.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's the only piece that is frightening. Because I think Washington's offense is horrid. You got a new coach. He had COVID. There's a new system in place. They're not ready to start the season. You know, I do believe in the continuity of coaches. And, you know, you got quarterback and coach that have been together. So you just got to be able to protect them.
And by Haskins is, you know.
Right.
He's kind of like very, you know, he's obviously had an inconsistent rookie year. He was pretty good.
I don't like him a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, but the Eagles made him look pretty good last summer.
Yeah.
In a game, the Eagles came back to win.
Yeah.
And if you recall, Terry McLaurin is.
Yeah, he had a great game. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a lot of good games last year, and one of them came against Darius Slay. Now, if you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, yeah, okay. I think he ended up with like four catches for 70 yards. But there were three would-be touchdowns where Slay got beat cold.
Yeah.
And Haskins just overthrew McLaurin. Yeah. Now, Slay, I'd asked him about this in April or something like that. And you know, he's like, he admitted, he's like, I wasn't ready for that kid's speed. I wasn't ready for it. So I would imagine the second time around, if they do want to match him up specifically against McLaurin, and that's why you go out and get a man defending guy like Darius Slay, they would do it again. I would think that he would have a better, you know, better read on the guy. I haven't played against him once.
Yeah.
Still, McLaurin's good. I mean, I'd be worried about him.
No, I agree. No, you're right on. But the run game, you know, is not there. Yeah. And defensively, other than their line, I mean, the back end of that secondary.
You should be able to throw against those guys. You have, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Deshaun can do. He's looked good in camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Hightower raised a lot of eyebrows for a rookie. It'll be hard for him to come in there and do something right away. But you never know. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is clearly progressed. I don't know how much he's progressed, but he's clearly progressed versus last year. And then you got the tight ends. You got Miles Sanders, who I think should be able to go by Sunday. There should be enough for the Eagles to win this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree, and they should.
Anything can happen. We don't know. This is the more unknowns than we've ever had since I've been covering the NFL heading into the season.
The most unknown. I agree. I mean, we've never had COVID before, Hados. So I'm with you. But
Yeah, they had a bunch of guys. I mean, Sanders pretty much didn't practice all camp. Derek Barnett, he's touching go for Sunday. He hasn't practiced, so you just have a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, that's weird. That's right. You think about it. I forgot about Derek Barnett not even practicing. My God.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. It's here, and you're doing a great job, man. We just love reading you and love talking to you, so thank you.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Here he is, Jeff McClain. Comcast Business Hotline. Interesting stuff, Junis. That Lane Johnson thing, ooh, that's a...
terrifying?
Shivers down your spine.
That's terrifying. And then, like Jeff said, that's three potential offensive linemen starters that would miss week one. Obviously, Dillard being done for the season and Brandon Brooks being potentially done for the season. But now Lane Johnson, too. I mean, Herbig and Pryor, your right side. Load left again. It's going to be the Eagles' load left. Herbig. We're going left every play.
We say Herbig.
That's awesome.
Good morning, Herbie. Morning, Herbert.
That's terrifying.
Yikes. That's a bit of scary. I thought Lane Johnson was going to play.
And I get like what you say that the Washington football team's defensive line is not like gangrene. It's not like the 85 Bears. But I hope the offensive line that the Eagles have out there don't make them look
right.
like the 85 no, Bears. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. Now you worried about Jason Peters now? Or no?
Hey, Jake, you play right side, too?
Oh, my God. That's why
they drafted Jalen Hurts.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, what a pick. John in Allentown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John, hey!
Hey, guys. That was a good interview you did. I'm a little concerned about the right side now. They may have to throw some screens over there or something to, slow those guys down. But
I know. Greg, why are you calling John?
Pardon me?
You're Greg. Come on, Greg. I know you. Stop. Don't play.
Uh-oh.
Greg, it's all right. It's cool. You know I love you.
Well, I don't know, but anyway.
What?
I think the defense is usually ahead of the offense early on. And
yes.
That's
all right, I can't let this go any further. I got to ask you. Greg, why did you tell Chunas your name was John? He just hung up.
Hung up.
Come on, Greg.
I go, wait, John? This is Greg from Bethlehem. No, it's not. I guess it is. No, it's not. All right. John, it is today.
John, what are you going by? Listen, tell us if you got in trouble with work, then we won't out you. Like, you know, tell Chunas, yo, man, my boss says I can't call. All right. Then you could be Hector. I be whatever you want. Right?
Yes, Hector.
We got you. Like, we got your back, but don't lie about it. Like, listen, the one thing I do know is I know voices. Like, I pay attention to callers. I do. I listen to their voices. I know the voices. I listen. I've been talking to you guys, and I listen to you guys. I hear your voices. So, especially a guy who calls all the time, Greg. It's cool. I don't care. Listen, people can call every day. It doesn't bother. I enjoy having conversations. So it doesn't matter to me. And I've been doing this too long to worry about, you know, all these people's rules and this stuff and other nonsense. But you got to keep it real with us. You know what I'm saying, Greg?
Does he call back as Greg or John now?
I hope he just calls back and goes, my bad. You know? Uh-oh. Nikki, who's on the line, says Washington plus the points and the under. Nah, man, come on. All right. Speaking of which, Cousins Corner tonight, we'll go through all the games, all the lines. The football season's here. Bet online with a name you trust. Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the number one casino in Pennsylvania. Parks Sportsbook app, easy deposit methods, fast payouts, great odds. Outstanding customer service. For new customers only, sign up now and get a free $50 sports book bet for a limited time. That's right. A free $50 bet for all new customers. No deposit required. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use my promo code FANATIC. This is a limited time offer. That's right. Through this Monday night, 11:59 p.m., new customers only, Park Sportsbook, Bet with the home team. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.